All right. So, excuse me. We start a new book today. Vayikra. Vayikra is the name of the book as well as the portion, as we know. We heard Nathan's very good drash. He's introduced us to Vayikra. And he said, it's true. It's not one of our favorite books now, is it? You know, it's just full of instructions and rules and commandments. But what I believe is true is that these instructions, these rules, these commandments are ways for us to maintain Adonai's order in our lives. That's what they're there for. Because each of us really, every day, are making decisions for ourselves. We're making that decision. Are we going to surrender to the chaos of the world, or are we going to surrender to Adonai and His ways and His instructions? So, we can say, I can absolutely say with true confidence that when we surrender to Adonai's instructions, what we're doing is we're letting Him reorder things for us. Right? Adonai is the one who can take the chaos of the world and reorder it into His way. In fact, we're told this in Romans 8:28. It says, now we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. What it's really saying is, if you're called to His purpose, you're going to keep His instructions. You're going to keep His commandment. You're going to keep His Torah. And if you do that, He can take that chaotic world and turn it into order. See, there are people out there who think that they can make up their own rules, they can follow their own ways, and they think they're keeping an order in their life that way. But what I would say is what they're really doing is barely maintaining a controlled chaos. And they're really not even controlling the chaos. They're surrendering to the chaos, just living with this stuff swirling around them that they really have no control over. They have no idea where these things that they're throwing up into the air are going to land, because there are no rules for them. They can go anywhere. They throw it up, and they hope it lands somewhere that it doesn't hurt them. But Adonai's ways are different, right? Because He knows where everything's going to land. He knows what's harmful. He knows what's beneficial. He knows how He needs to nudge things so that they don't land on top of you unless they're going to be beneficial to you. So the instructions in Leviticus and really all of Scripture are ways of keeping order. Therefore, what they really could be seen as are not just commandments, but choices that we choose to make in order to maintain His order, so that our lives can be maintained in His order, His way, not our way. We really are making choices to keep that order by following His instructions. And we make that choice every day. Are we going to follow the world, or are we going to follow Adonai? Because Adonai did not create us as robots. I mean, hey, it truly would have been easier if He did. It truly would have been, Adonai, take over Ruach HaKodesh and just tell me what to do. Take over Ruach HaKodesh, guide my hands, and just do it for me. But that's not Adonai's way. He didn't create the world so that, you know, nothing happens he's in control of it all, but He gives us free will. So we have to make the choice to do things His way. In other words, we have to make the choice to follow Torah or not. Just would be so much easier, justice for everybody, if everybody followed Torah. What a dream. But no, that's not the way Adonai created us or the world. Free will is what he's given us. So we choose surrender to the chaos of the world or surrender to Adonai and see that his way truly is easier. For if we make the decision to surrender to Adonai and his instructions, there really are a few things that we need to do, things that we need to follow, things we need to accept. So today I'm going to go over a couple of things that you're going to need to do if you make that decision to surrender to Adonai. So the first one is to examine yourself and see where you are. Because it would seem easy to know where you are, right? Here I am. Here I act. This is the way I am. Put in a certain situation, this is what I'm going to do. Confronted by certain people, here's how I'm going to react. But the reality is, it's really not all that clear, is it? Because we're really very good at fooling ourselves and others, aren't we? In fact, Proverbs 28:26 says this, "Whoever trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will escape." So Proverbs tells us our own heart should not be trusted. At the time of that Proverbs was written, the thought was the heart was the site of intelligence as well. It wasn't the center of emotions like we think of a heart today as emotions then. It was the center of intelligence. So they were saying, don't trust your heart. Figuratively, today, I'd say both are true. The heart and the mind work together, but the heart can be both emotion as well as intelligence, making decisions. But we still can't trust either. Proverbs 16:2, all a man's ways are pure in his own eyes, but Adonai weighs the motives. We think we know what's going on inside of ourselves. We think that we are either good or bad. We really don't know because the flesh really wants to fool us into thinking we're always good. If we can convince ourselves that we're always good, then the next step is not so big, convincing ourselves that we're always right. If we're good, we're making good decisions. If we're making good decisions, then we're always right. So when someone says that you did something to offend them, that you hurt them, that you did something wrong, well, how could I? I'm a good person. And if I'm good, I'm right. That means you must be wrong. It just follows suit, doesn't it? If I'm good, then I'm right. But that's not the way it works. The flesh of the mind and the flesh of the heart are always fighting our spirit. It's always trying to hide the truth of who we really are, both to those who are outside of us as well as those who are actually within ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that we should be putting ourselves down all the time. We should always be doubting ourselves. We should be, not trusting ourselves. But we need to be watchful. We need to be testing against Scripture to be sure that we're aligned with Him, aligned with His Word. And if we don't, then we become like the congregation of Laodicea that we see in Revelation. They got this warning from Adonai. Revelation 3:17, starting there. "For you say, I am rich. I have made myself wealthy, and I need nothing. But you do not know where you are, that you are miserable and pitiful and poor and blind and naked." They did not even recognize that in themselves. Verse 18, "I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white clothes so that you may dress yourself, and so the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. The eye salve, and anoint your eyes so that you may see. The people of Laodicea thought they had it all right. They thought they were rich, but they were poor, according to Adonai. He was, of course, not warning of worldly riches. He was warning of that spiritual matters that they need to be watching out for, which are really more important than the physical riches of the world. They didn't realize where they were, that they actually had what they had when it actually comes to those things that matter for eternity. See, by now, most of you know that when most men talk, they talk about things that are temporal or temporary in this world. The minds of men fool themselves into not seeing the long term and the eternal condition of themselves or the world. When Adonai speaks, it's almost always about eternity. Even when a man hears it himself, what he does is he lets it come in and then he interprets it the way he wants, meaning he interprets it for now. A man says, "Oh Lord, heal me, please." And the Lord says, and the Lord answers, "In the kingdom of God, your body will be whole." And what do? We go, "Whoopee! My body is healed. I can jump. I can play basketball again. I'm not getting out of this bed. I am going to be healed better than new." And it's true. Adonai does care about our physical bodies and does heal our physical bodies. But which do you think he cares about more? Your physical, temporal, temporary body or your eternity? So when he says you will have a healed, perfect body, he's probably more talking about eternity. Yes, he's going to heal. He could heal your body right now. And we pray all the time for healings. And we see all the time healings, miraculous healings. But first and foremost, when Adonai speaks, he speaks eternal. And that's what we need to hear. The Laodiceans were known for their eye salves, for their healing salves for their eyes, many different ailments that they could heal with the salves. Adonai wanted them to think past that, think past their own salves and take his salves, the ones that would heal their spiritual eyes as opposed to their physical eyes. How do we think in and see the eternal? It says to anoint your eyes with his salve so that we could see better. The salve is the word of Adonai. Apply it towards all things and look past the horizon that our physical eyes are limited to. This eye salve is the Ruach HaKodesh. How do we apply it? By being in the word, by praying through the word, by praying to him. How did the psalmist apply the salve to his eyes? Psalm 119, starting in verse 17. "Do good to your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes so that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. I am a temporary dweller on earth. Do not hide your mitzvot from me." Being in his Torah and knowing and living his mitzvot or instructions allows us to maintain the order in our lives. An order that will match his order, not the chaos of the world. It aligns us with him. It allows us to become more like him. We need to have our eyes open and be in his word, because Torah is the salve that he wants us to apply to our spiritual eyes so that we can see where we really are, who we really are in Him and who He really is. And that brings me to the next point. Our goal and Adonai's goal are not always the same. To the Laodiceans, he says to buy gold. Now, it's very common in the Hebrew scriptures when Adonai is trying to bring out a prophetic point to use two words that sound alike. So, for example, in Amos 8, he says to Amos, the prophet, what do you see? And Amos says, a basket of summer fruit or ripe fruit. The word for summer fruit is aketz. And Adonai answers. You know, basically Adonai says, yes, there's ketz. So Amos says aketz, and Adonai says ketz. And Adonai, when he says ketz, is a similar sounding word, but it means the end is. And Adonai is trying to portray is that the end is coming. So Amos says, I see fresh fruit. And Adonai says, yes, the end is coming. Because these two words are similar. So allow me to do something very similar today with the words goal and gold. Because very many of us know there are different types of gold or purity of gold. You know, they measure gold in carats. I'm sure most of you know that. 24 carats is pure gold. 24 carats means there's no impurity, nothing mixed with it, nothing merged with it. So why don't people strive to have 24 carat gold jewelry or rings or anything like that? Why is 14 carats really the most popular for wedding bands and other jewelry? It's because the purer the gold is, the softer it is. A pure 24 carat gold ring would be so pliable and so soft that just everyday wearing it and banging it around would cause damage and nicks and make it out of round and uncomfortable. And maybe would pinch your finger. It'd be damaged. So when Adonai tells the Laodiceans to buy gold, he's actually telling them and us to exchange our golds for his gold. To exchange the golds that we have in our life for the eternal gold and the white clothes that he has to offer. Again, we see the difference in the way that we speak and Adonai speaks. We say, this is our goal. These are our goals. Adonai, and that means for now, this is what we want to do. Adonai responds, buy my gold, eternal. That's what he wants us to do. Have our eye on that eternal gold, not our current goals. Adonai asks, are we willing to release our goals in order to take hold of his gold? Because if our hands are closed and we're grasping our own goals, how can we grab on to his gold? Our hands are closed. They're holding other things. We can't grab on to his gold. Even when he holds it out to us, we can't grab on to it. And the same thing is, how do we show that we surrender in this life, right? You don't just hold your hands up, you hold them up and open so that you're ready to take hold of his gold. So when we surrender to Adonai, we have to have our hands open, releasing our own goals so that we can take his gold. We should not be trying to hold on to other things of the world when we surrender to him. Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. Let me read a little bit there. Thus says Adonai, cursed is the one who trusts in man and depends on flesh as his arm, and whose heart turns from Adonai. for he will be like a bush in the desert. He cannot see goodness when it comes, but he will dwell in parched places in the wilderness, a salt land where no one lives. Blessed is the one who trusts in Adonai, whose confidence is in Adonai. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters, spreading out its roots by the stream. He has no fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green. It does not worry in the year of drought, nor depart from yielding fruit. When it says, who trusts in man, cursed is the one who trusts in man. It doesn't mean just the outsider. It doesn't mean just the person sitting next to you. It means the person sitting in your seat. You too. Cursed is the one who trusts in himself just as much as trusting in someone else. Trusting in another man. So we're not to surrender, not to man. Even not to ourself. Don't surrender to yourself. But only to Adonai. It's the only one we should be surrendering to. And in that surrender comes the third part. Allow yourself to be tested by Adonai. Because in surrender also comes testing. This testing is not a way to see where you are in Adonai. This testing is not just a way to see where you are in Adonai, but it's also a way of bringing impurities to the surface. The trick about impurities is you can't always see them until the heat is applied. It's when that heat is applied to gold that the impurities are released. It's the same with men. We all know that when someone is under stress or in times of trouble, their whole countenance can change. Isn't that true? All of a sudden, they become short. All of a sudden, they start yelling and screaming, and maybe it's not even who they're mad at, who they're frustrated with. Their minds become clouded, and they just don't see themselves as they actually are. It's a long-time practice to apply heat to test the purity of precious metals. And it's also true with the hearts and minds of men. But if we want to be aligned with Adonai, then we need to allow for that testing. We need to stay sometimes in that testing. Because we may want to jump out of that fiery test. But we need to allow ourselves to go through it so those impurities will rise up and they can be skinned off by Adonai. When King David was being tested by Adonai, look what he said. Now, Psalm 26, he's actually just coming back to Jerusalem victoriously. He's actually coming back to Jerusalem after a time of testing out in the desert. But look what he says anyway. Psalm 26, vindicate me, Adonai. For I've walked in my integrity and trusted in Adonai without wavering. Look how good I am. Probe me, Adonai, and test me. Refine my mind and my heart. For your love is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. David just went through that time of fire. He just went through that time of testing. Just got brought back to Jerusalem. And what's he say? Hey, I know I was right, but test me and try me anyway and see what's in my heart. Because we already just said that our hearts and our minds are deceitful. David knew this. The king knew that he could not be 100% certain even at that point. Because the weight of purifying gold, heat it up, take off the dross, let it cool down. Heat it up. More dross is going to come up. Skim it off. Let it cool down. Heat it up. And the process continues until nothing else rises after that heat comes up. David knew he couldn't be 100% certain of where he was. So he says, test me again. Look at me again. Show me again where I am in my walk with you, Adonai. So we see at times we need to go through that test. Not again. Again, not to prove to Adonai, look how good I am. Because he already knows. He knows my heart better than I know my heart. He knows my thoughts better than I know my thoughts, and even before I have my thoughts. But it's to show us where we are. It's so that the dross will be risen to the top and he can scoop it off. Now, I'm sorry. There is just no way that I've seen that we can separate our walk with Adonai and testing. If you know of a way, please let me know. Please let me know. But there's no way. If you're walking with Adonai, testing is going to happen. It just is. The only way to prevent that testing from happening is to be pure and perfect. And on this side of eternity, that's not going to happen for any of us, I'm sorry to say. Now, these are just some of the things that we need to think about when we read the instructions in Leviticus and all of Scripture. The instructions of Adonai when we're deciding about what to do, how to follow them through. And you may say, well, not all of these instructions in Leviticus are for me. I don't sacrifice cattle. I don't keep, you know, lambs and goats in my yard just for sacrifice. I don't have an altar. That's true. You don't have an altar in your backyard, but you still have an altar in your heart. Yes. So we have to see, how do we react when we're told what to do those sacrifices? How to react when we're told, apply the blood onto the altar? Because maybe it's not the blood of the animal, but maybe now it's the blood of Yeshua that cleanses us. We need to make that decision every day to accept the blood of Yeshua. We need every day to make that decision who we're going to surrender to. Are we surrendering to the chaos of the world, or are we surrendering to the instructions of Adonai? That means every day we need to examine ourselves. Every day we need to examine our actions and compare them to his instructions. And in doing so, we need to actually allow him to examine us, to test us, to search us. Because as we said, we're so good about fooling ourselves. We need to see where we are in our alignment with him. You know, you've heard it before. If Adonai's path is here and we're just 1 or 2 degrees off, by the time we get down the road, we can be way off the mark. Just that little bit at the beginning causes a big discrepancy later on. So we need to keep checking, keep correcting. Let him keep correcting ourselves. As part of this self-examination, we need to see if our goals are the same as his gold. Is what we want, our goals, what he wants to give us, his gold? We need to allow ourselves not to settle for reviewing ourselves, but allowing Adonai to test us and place us in the fire so that we will be able to see where we are and what the impurities are that's still within us. For none of us will be pure 24-karat gold of Adonai without imperfections while we walk here on earth. So we need to open our hearts, open our minds, and tell him to test us in the ways. We know these tests are going to come. It's how we react to these tests. Do we open ourselves up to the Ruach, making corrections, making adjustments to us? Or do we close ourselves off from the Ruach so that he's unable to make adjustments to us? Father, we thank you for the Ruach. Yes. And we thank you for the testing. And yes, we even thank you for the fire. For through that fire, dross rises up so that you can be the one to skim it off. Ruach, may we never close our hearts off so that when the dross rises up, you're unable to skim it off. But allow us to have open, pliable hearts so that as we walk through the testing, you can cleanse us as we go. Help us to be ones who have open hands to release our goals so that when you reach out with your gold, we can take it into our hands, into our hearts, and into our minds. Ruach, we thank you that you do offer the gold. We thank you that you are generous. Thank you that you are merciful. We thank you for your examination of us in our lives. Ruach, we just again and again and again open ourselves up to you and in all of your ways. Ruach, when we read As we go through these Torah portions over the next 13 weeks or so in Leviticus, Vayikra, help us to see your instructions as ways that we need to compare them to our life. Help us to see them as the sacrifices that we need to surrender to surrender to you and your way, so that we're always walking in your way. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. That's who he is. He's not just merciful in giving us things. He's merciful in testing us as we go through the things. That's mercy. You say, how is that mercy? That's mercy because the drash doesn't stay within us, doesn't stay on us. He skims it off of us.